I'd like to read in the Gospel of Luke now, chapter 15. Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, and we'll read at verse number 1. Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, and verse number 1. It says, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners, and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." Now one final verse, a few pages over to the 19th chapter, Luke chapter 19, and verse number 10. Luke chapter 19 and verse number 10. It says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Now God will bless what we have read, along with what we've been hearing tonight already. I'd like to speak tonight of the greatest search and rescue mission that was ever accomplished. For 10 years, from 1982 to 1992, I lived in the town of Gander, in the middle part of Newfoundland, on the east coast of Canada. And one of the things that was very dominant in that place was the military base, and of course alongside of that was the search and rescue units. It was almost every day that we saw those yellow and red helicopters, either coming or going or hovering, doing their maneuvers, their practicings. And every so often they would leave Gander and head out into the Atlantic to try and effect a rescue. It was costly, it was dangerous, but it was necessary. But tonight what we have read is of the greatest search and rescue mission that was ever accomplished. Because when we come to Luke chapter 15, we're coming to a chapter about lost things. A lost sheep. A lost coin. A lost son. But it's also a chapter about those lost things being found. And as we open up our Bibles, as we hear the gospel, we understand that heaven has been moved toward this world. And tonight, as you come to a gospel meeting, and perhaps it's your first time here in this hall, I'll tell you something, it's my first meeting here too. I'm glad to be here, and I'm glad you're here. But perhaps you've come to this meeting and you're wondering, is there a God? Or maybe you've gone a little bit further and you've said, now, does God know all about me, and is he interested in me? Does he care about me? I want to say tonight with an open Bible that God knows where you are and God cares about you. And the greatest search and rescue operation that has ever been effected took place when the Lord Jesus Christ came. Because you see, heaven has been involved in some pretty big operations. It was a tremendous work when God created this world. It was a magnificent thing when he placed the stars in their orbits. We still marvel at that. We still look back from time to time and look up and see the glory of God manifest in his handiwork. I want to say that even driving up the coast to Squamish yesterday, couldn't help but marvel. God's wondrous creation. I want to say that doesn't compare with what happened when the moment came that God sent forth His Son. And down from the glory, the heights of heaven, the mighty Creator came. And He came with a mission. He came with a purpose. He came with the objective to seek and to save that which was lost. So tonight what we have read, it involves the place called Calvary. You remember that's where the cross was? That's where the Son of God voluntarily laid down His life. But you see, friend, this operation involves this meeting. Right here, 1994, in the month of October, in Vancouver. Because you see, the Son of Man came to seek, and He came to save that which was lost. I don't know if you noticed it tonight, but what we have read concerns two very, very significant phrases. This shepherd speaks about my sheep which is lost. And at the end of it, having found it and placed it upon his shoulders, he calls his neighbors together and his friends, and he says, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." And as we begin these meetings, and as we address this audience tonight, those two phrases define this gathering. There are perhaps individuals here, and as God looks upon you and upon your life, He says, they're still lost. But there are others in this meeting who can look back to a day when the shepherd found them. His strong arms lifted us from the awful course of our sin. At night we rejoice with the shepherd because we once were lost, but we've been found. And our desire and God's desire and purpose for the gospel and for your course and for your life is that you might come to know this shepherd. You might come to value his work. And you might understand your lostness. And that there might be a moment of salvation. I want us to speak very, very simply tonight. But a lost sheep. It's not too hard to understand, is it? A lost sheep. I'd like to speak about a loving shepherd. And thirdly, about a longing search. And fourthly, about lofty shoulders. And finally, about a lovely song that I trust you'll be able to join in, even at the end of this meeting. Because you see, what the shepherd is telling us about tonight is that we're lost. In fact, the verse that Mr. McElwain read at the beginning of this meeting defines us. If our gospel is hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Luke chapter 19 verse 10 tells us that the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Perhaps I'm speaking to individuals here tonight and you're not even aware that you're lost. In fact, it takes all of chapter 15 to describe what it means to be lost. But one of the simplest stories that Jesus told is about this lost sheep. You can just picture it, can't you? Shepherd taking his flock out, and during the course of a day, a little sheep, just with his head down, with his nose to the ground, munching on the grass, starts wandering. Perhaps he's not intending to be lost, but he doesn't know any difference. He's just following his inclinations. He's just going his own way. And little by little, he wanders off. until he finally looks up. And whether he knows it or not, he's lost. He's been separated from the shepherds. And sad to say, when it comes to sheep, they can't find their way back. You see, tonight, as Jesus very, very simply told this story, have you ever marveled at the simplicity of the Lord's words? You don't have to go to UBC to understand what he's talking about. You don't have to have a college degree to try and figure out what he's saying. He uses these simple illustrations, these stories that people can understand, to tell us about our lostness. And the big problem with our lostness, with our inability to find the right way to heaven, concerns our sin. The big problem in this world tonight is not unemployment, or rising prices, or insecurity on the stock market, or pollution, or you name it. The big problem tonight is our sin. Sin has separated us from God. Sin has brought that tremendous barrier, the tremendous gap between this world and its God. Tonight, this world of ours, and lives and individuals in this world, are plagued by the awfulness of sin. Sin has come in and has affected our course. In fact, the Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the awfulness of choosing our own course, our own way, has put us on a course that's away from God. Tell me tonight, could you tell me the way to heaven? I sat in a dentist chair this past week down south in San Diego, and one of the technicians that was working on me, we got talking, and invariably it got around to the gospel. I said, Eileen, could you tell me the way to heaven? Could you tell me how you're going to get your sins forgiven? And she looked at me and she hardly knew what to say. How about you tonight? Are you confident that the way that you're going is going to lead to heaven? Are you confident tonight and at rest and at peace knowing that your sins are forgiven? You see, the problem is that sin has separated us from God. Sin has put us on a course away from Himself. It's not only affected our course, but it's affected our character. We can't help but sin. We're living in a world that's plagued by sin. I couldn't help but kind of groan. Driving down to San Diego, the Christian who had lent us his van had one of these safety bars that you go across the steering wheel. And every time you got out of that vehicle, whether it was just to go to the store, he said, make sure that bar is on. Stretch it out and lock it. You go to a meeting like this, put the bar on. Come back in the van, take it off. On and off, on and off. That's because of the world we're living in. Tragic, isn't it? That sin has begun to take a toll upon this world. And the awfulness of sin has brought a lostness into our lives. It has brought unhappiness, and guilt, and hopelessness. The night man is lost. It is wandering. The tragic thing about this lost sheep is that it was ignorantly lost. It didn't know its danger. A few years ago, in a place called Bonavista, which is one of the original points that John Cabot spied when he came across the Atlantic and he hit Newfoundland, the Rock of Newfoundland, He came to Bonavista, and that simply means, oh, happy sight. And I guess he was happy to see land after that long journey. But in that outport of perhaps 6,500 people, there's a woman by the name of June Sweetland. Back in the early 80s, she and her husband had got tickets for the New Year's ball. New Year's time was coming. I think it was the winter of 82, 83. And so June and Doug went to that party, along with others, and they were on the dance floor, trying to, you know, have a good time for the new year that was coming in. And after that round of dances, June went off on the sidelines and just stood there and looked at the swirling mass of people amidst the smoke of that room. And all of a sudden, a thought pierced her conscience. Well, she wasn't attending gospel meetings. She wasn't reading her Bible. She was just a young married woman trying to do the best she could. Went to church on Sunday, tried to live a respectable life, tried to raise her family and support her husband. But here she was, and as she looked across that room of New Year partiers, the thought suddenly struck her. We're all going to hell. And with that realization, her face went white. And her husband looked at her and he said, June, what's wrong? You're sick. No, she said, I'm not sick. Well, he says, you don't look well. He said, I'll go get you a soft drink. So we went over and got a soda. But you see, friend, there was a woman. And the Spirit of God began to touch her life. And began to make her aware of her needs. And began to impress upon her the fact of her lostness. She was unaware until that moment of her danger. But suddenly, eternal things became real. Suddenly, the awful destiny that lay ahead of her and all those in that room gripped her. She was never the same. The Spirit of God continued his strivings, and a neighbor was brought in who was a Christian. And to make a long story short, there was a moment when June Sweetland found the Savior as her shepherd and as her Savior. She's lived to prove the reality of it. But she suddenly became aware of the fact, I'm lost. I wonder tonight, have you ever admitted to God, I'm lost? I don't know the right way. I'm astray from the shepherd, and I am not ready for eternity. Because you see, into such a scene, where there's a lost sheep, there comes a loving shepherd. Oh, I'm so glad that this little parable includes this loving shepherd. Because you see, in this shepherd's flock, there were 100 sheep. And that shepherd could easily have said, well, I've got 99, what's the point of going after the one? It's a small loss. It's no big deal. But here's a shepherd, and every one of that flock, every sheep in that flock was precious to him. I want to say tonight, friend, you are precious to God. In fact, the Bible says God is not willing that anybody perish. God doesn't want anybody to end up lost forever. So this loving shepherd began to move. And he left the 99. And he began to move out to look for that one sheep that was lost. I am thankful that the very heart of the gospel tonight concerns this loving shepherd. Because when the Lord Jesus Christ came, he didn't come to condemn. He didn't come to establish a new religion. He didn't come to give us a code of ethics that we were supposed to live by. Because, friend, we had already flunked the test. We couldn't keep his law. But when he came to seek, and he came to save that which is lost. And out of love for your soul, and out of concern for your course, the Lord Jesus Christ came. But at a tremendous cost. I recall speaking with one of the men that worked in the search and rescue squadron there in Gander during the Ocean Ranger disaster in 1982. I'm sure many will remember that terrible stormy night just before Valentine's Day in 1982 when that Atlantic winter storm hit. Search and rescue was called. A couple of men scrambled into their survival suits and headed out. 80-foot waves, 120-kilometer winds, and finally they hovered over the wreckage. And these two men, one man told me, he says, we took a coin out of our pocket and flipped it up to see who was going to have to go. He says, I won the toss, so he went. And as that man put the harness on, he was suspended by a cable about the size of my baby finger. And as that door opened, as that man stepped out and began to be lowered on a cable the size of my finger, he was literally risking his life to try and recover some of those bodies and to see if there was any life there. But I want to say, friend, when the door of heaven opened, and when the mighty Creator stepped into his own creation, there was no cable attached. He wasn't coming by way of a risk. But friend, when the mighty Creator stepped into his own creation as a man, and as a servant, as the Savior, he came to lay down his life and to give it. And when he left heaven, he was going to the place called Calvary to lay down his life for sinners. And the moment came when he took on him a cross. He had already been beaten by people that hated him. The spit from people's mouths was already dripping from his face. A crown of thorns that signified a king had already been beaten into his brow. His clothes had already been ripped from him. He had been mocked and arrayed in a gorgeous robe. And finally his own garments were put back on temporarily until they got to Calvary. The Lord Jesus, as the Man of Sorrows, walked out to the place of the skull. You know why he went there? Because for him to seek and to save that which is lost, it was necessary that he would die for the sheep. It was necessary that he would pay the ransom price. It was necessary that he would face our sin and identify himself with it. And the wonder of the gospel and the blessedness of this shepherd coming is that he actually died for our sins. And you know, tonight, I look back to, a little over 23 years ago, when for the first time it became personal to me that he died for me. You see, friend, this loving shepherd began a longing search. And what I appreciate about Luke 15 is that this shepherd sought for that sheep until he found it. No turning back, no giving up, no saying, it's not worth it. As we look into your faces tonight, I'm wondering, perhaps there's somebody here and he's been searching for you. And he's been calling for you. You know why?
Because you're lost. Because you're headed the wrong way, the wrong road. And because, friend, if you continue on that road, you're going to be lost eternally. But he's seeking for you tonight because he wants to bless you. He really does. And this shepherd sought for this sheep until he found it. I'm thankful that he didn't give up on me. Because you see, for, I would say, 21 years of my life, I didn't even know I was lost. I thought I was living as good a life as I could. And I really thought that if a person did the best they could and stayed out of trouble and lived morally and respected the Bible and said their prayers, that should be pretty good. But friend, when I came to hear the gospel, when I opened up God's Word, I began to discover I'm lost. 23 years ago in the month of March, lying in my bed in a boarding house, I read these words, "All we like sheep have gone astray." I said, "Man, that's me. We have turned everyone to his own way." I said, "That's me." And then I read, "And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity or the sin of us all." And I said, "If that's what God says, if that's what the Savior really has done, if that's what Calvary was all about, then I'll be simple enough to accept it." And oh, I'm so thankful that he found me, friend, because it wasn't me looking for him. But it was the shepherd looking for the sheep that was lost. Tonight in this meeting, here are those, and God is looking for you. And the shepherd is calling your name. And he's drawing you to himself that he might bless you. What's the shepherd do when he finds it? I want to say with some of us, we give that little animal a good spanking. Send it home. Chastise it. But not the shepherd. Here's a shepherd, he bends down. With strong arms, he picks it up and he puts it on his shoulders. I want to say, what a ride home that must have been. Shepherd's shoulders now. He's going home. And as I think of our shepherd, the Lord Jesus, friend, when he finds a lost sheep, he puts it in a place of absolute strength and security. And it's not that we're holding on to him, but he's holding on to us. He said, "I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they'll never perish." At the night, I'm enjoying and appreciating the security of his salvation. All right, that's what he wants to give you. He wants to put you into a place of strength, of security, of peace, of going home. What happens? He gets home. He calls his friends. He calls his relatives. He says, "Come on over. You've got to come over." He said, "I want you to rejoice with me. Because I have found my sheep, which is lost." I'll tell you something. When God saved me, I was a happy man. You know something? I still am. Because you see, God's salvation makes a person happy. It gives them a joy that the world will never give. The greatness of salvation is really found in heaven's joy as well. That the Savior looks at individuals and he loves them. And he longs to save them. Wants to find them tonight. And if there's an individual here, and in the honesty of your own soul tonight, as you hear these simple words about a shepherd that looks for a sheep, and you say, "Well, that's me, that's my life," I trust there'll be a moment when you'll just stop Just say, Lord, it's me. I need to be saved. Lord, save me. And on the basis of God's word, I can tell you that the Son of Man, the Good Shepherd, He actually came. He came to seek, and He came to save that which is lost. I trust you'll be able to join in the lovely song of salvation. Because you see, friend, there is a day coming when every saved individual will gather around this shepherd.